We're all about Jesus in this place. My name's David, and we're all about Jesus. We want to go bring people to Jesus because he loves the people. He loves all of us, no matter where you're from, no matter your background, the color of your skin, or how bad or good you are. He loves you where you are, as you are. But the good thing is he doesn't want to keep us like that. He wants to grow us. That's our second G. He wants to grow us into something amazing. And God is into amazing things. He wants to take ordinary people like us and use us in extraordinary ways. He has a huge plan for your life. I mean, an amazing plan, a supernatural plan. And he specializes in using what the world says, oh, you're a nobody, you're this. And he takes that kind of a person, if they're humbled before him, and uses them in amazing ways. Is that exciting or what?
Yes.
And that's what Jesus does. Jesus is amazing. And then the last two, go, grow, and then give. We want to give back into the world. And we want to produce believers who share about Jesus to other people. Because, hey, everybody's invited. We're all part of God's family. If you're a believer, you're part of his family, and he loves you. So, yeah. So, all that being said, one last thing. Can you tell I'm really excited today?
Yeah.
I am really excited today. So, so we're in our, I think, third week of spring cleaning. This is a series we have on spring cleaning. The idea is, in our lives, there's things in our lives that are holding us back from all the things that God wants us to enjoy in our lives. There's so many things that God wants us to enjoy in our lives, and things in our lives, like last week we talked about idol worship. We talked about what are we putting ahead of Jesus in our lives that can hold us back. We talked about the idea this week. We're going to talk about the idea of worry. Oh man, how many worry marks do we have in here? I mean, we worry about everything, and I know right at this time of the year, some of us are worrying about finals right now. Oh no, it's finals. We're worrying about our grades, right? We're worrying about our grades. Some of us are worrying about our jobs. Some of us are worrying about getting a job. And then some of us are worrying about losing the job we have. I remember I used to have this supervisor. Can I say jerk in church? He was a jerk, all right? Every time I went in there, he always called, David, come to my office right away. And I would worry. My stomach would get knots. And I was a very anxious person. I'm wondering, is he going to fire me today? And he just liked to pull that because he wanted to like keep us in fear and worry. But we worry about everything. I mean, we worry about health. A health test, we worry about this, we worry about that. I have one friend, he worries about worry. It's true. And I said, what are you talking about? What do you mean you worry about worry? He says, well, it's so good right now, I'm worrying that the other shoe's going to drop and something's going to go bad now. So everything's going great, but he's worried that something bad is going to happen, and so he's worrying about worry. So many of us, we worry about so many different things in our lives. And I love this because we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. And Jesus he's on the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus. He's talking to thousands of people. And he's going to share about worry. He's going to share these things. And you can go to the next slide if you don't mind. No, that's not the next slide, but you can go to the... Well, anyway, Proverbs 12, 25 says this, worry weighs a person down. That's exactly what it says. I brought my object lesson. You like this? I was going to bring my 200-pounder, but I figured I didn't want to show off in front of you guys. They think I'm kidding. But anyway, this is a 30-pound dumbbell right here. Not me, the dumbbell. And the whole idea here is equate it with worry, we're going to define worry in a second, going to the scriptures. We can only hold on to this so long, right? I mean, if you're an average person, any person, even if you're the strongest dude in the world, his name is the Mountain. I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy. But you can only hold on to this so long until you give out. Because you're not made to hold on to this forever. This is your worry. This is your burden. This is your anxiety. This is the thing that's holding you back from going where God wants you to go in your life, holding you back from success in your life. I can't tell you, I'm gonna be, someone in here just turned 24. Oh my gosh, I'm 40 years older? I'm gonna be 64 in July. I know I look good, you have to tell me. But I wish I was able to experience everything I know now about worry. I wasted so much time in my life. Worry is the greatest joy killer in life. Worry will rip you apart, it will weigh you down. Because when you're worrying, what are you worrying about? You're worrying about the future. You're worrying about what's gonna happen tomorrow instead of enjoying what God gave you today. So that's how I was always worrying about, I couldn't enjoy the present because I was always worried about, but yeah, Lord, how about tomorrow? What's gonna happen tomorrow? Am I gonna be alive tomorrow? I'm a hypochondriac, so I'm always thinking, am I dying? And I'm always thinking, well, what's gonna happen tomorrow? And this is the weight that I carry around in my life. I actually, just to be honest with you, real, you know, to share a vulnerability here, I suffered from a horrible panic disorder. I mean, anxiety ridden. I mean, it's a miracle what God has done for me to be able to be up here talking with you guys. I could never do that when I was 24. I was really like crippled by fear, by anxiety, by worry. On the day of my friend's wedding, my best friend, John Subasinski, I was his best man. And because I had anxiety, and back then, you didn't share this stuff. Back in my generation, you didn't share, oh, I have a panic disorder, I'm on Xanax. You didn't share that because that wasn't the culture back then. So I hid everything. I even hid my anxiety disorder from my wife. I hid it all and I suffered terribly alone. But do you know what I did? Because I had such worry, anxiety and worry, by the way, we're gonna see is the same Greek word. I actually, on the day of the wedding, I'm in my tux, on the day of the wedding, I backed out of my best friend's wedding. I said, sorry, I can't do it, and I lied. I said, I'm just not feeling well. I didn't want to tell him I'm crazy. You know, I'm just worried, I just have anxiety. His wife didn't really speak to me for years because of that. We're all great friends now. But just, I wanted to share the fact that worry can destroy a life. Now you can identify with worry. We all worry. But Jesus has things to tell us about worry because he doesn't want us to worry. And this is the actual meaning of the word for worry. So I'm gonna put this weight down because I can't hold this burden much longer. I have to put this down. Jesus wants us to put down our worry. When you worry, you have to go somewhere. You can't hold on to this or you'll destroy yourself, right? It's not good. So here's the actual meaning of the word for. Hang on. I had Malik to carry that up here. Thank you, Malik. So the actual word maranatha is actually a compound Greek word, and it literally means to be torn in two. It literally means to be torn to pieces, divided into parts. And what that actually means is that when you worry on something, you can identify with this, you're lying in bed and you're ruminating on all the things that could go wrong. You're worrying about all these different things and in your mind, it's like you're double-minded. Oh no, I have to do this. You're over here. Oh no, I have to do this over here. And after a while, it's like having OCD, your mind overloads, right? And then you get anxious and all these bad things happen after that. Literally, it's amazing, torn in two different things. And what Jesus is about to tell us, you can't live like this. You're not meant to live like this. Can you identify with me about the idea of being torn in two, into different pieces? Oh no, I'm worrying about school. Oh no, but I want to do something, but I want to have fun in the summer, but now I have to work. And how am I going to get a job? What's going to happen when I graduate? Or how about those medical blood tests that I'm waiting on? Am I going to be okay? And it's like, worry. That's what it really means in our lives. And that's the definition of worry. Worry causes so many different things in the scripture. There's so many scriptures that I could share. I'm not going to get into it because we're going to be in Matthew. But He said, worry weighs the heart down, like the scripture says. But it also, the Bible is amazing. People say the Bible is this and it was not relevant. It is so relevant. You know, the Bible says that worry can actually cause physical issues with your heart, with your mind. It weighs you down. If you allow worry to be your master, to control you, high blood pressure, heart disease, besides depression, you know, worry and depression go hand in hand. Worry and anxiety, it's like, what causes the other, the chicken or the egg? They're all connected. The more you worry, it's like you're like a gerbil on a wheel going round and round, and it never ends. And so today we're going to talk about worry, what Jesus says. And here he is, picture him in front of thousands of people. How did he get the word out? He had no mic. Well, something supernatural was going on. He was about to feed 5,000 people on this mountainside. He only had a few fish and a few loaves, like our little pantry we have here at Rock. But somehow he was about to feed all these people, and he's bringing it home. Jesus is very relevant in teaching to the people, and he uses word pictures that people would identify with, and that's why he's going here. So I want to go to verse 20. If you have your Bible, and I hope you do, your iPhone, go to verse 25. But go back to that one thing. All right, okay. So here, this is why this is so important. Jesus, we're talking about 10 verses, and Jesus, five different times, tells us why it's not good to worry. Not only not good, three of these are actually commands. They're imperatives. That means Jesus is not giving a suggestion. He's giving a command not to worry. In verse 25, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life. Verse 27, and he says, and who of you by being worried, he's going to say there, can add a single day to your life, a single hour to your life. So we're going to get into that essay. And then he goes, and why are you worried? That's another, the same root word that he's using. And then two more commands. Do not worry then. And then the last command, so do not worry. These are three times. So here's the thing. When I tell my kids once to not do something, I'm telling them once. When I tell them five times, I think they should know I'm being serious, right? I think that should be kind of important. If Jesus is sharing five times in 10 verses, this is something very important that he wants us to know. Very important for our lives. He's not giving these commands or anything like that, but he is actually wants us to live a life worth living, and that's why he's sharing. He wants to share these things because he wants us to be so in touch with himself and the Heavenly Father. So I want to share that to let you know that this is such an important, if we could grasp these things, if we could really take a hold of these things, we can see that we can enjoy life more than before. And I don't want you guys to waste your life with worry. It's a learning experience, right? I still worry, but you know, but it's so important.
You're in Matthew 6.
Yes. Matthew 6. Let's go to verse 25 now to Matthew 6. So here we are, Matthew 6, verse 25. And he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what to eat or drink and so forth. And just to set the context, Jesus is about to feed these people food. So they're in the mountain, they have nothing to eat. And Jesus is saying, therefore, do not worry. That's the command, that's an imperative. And whatever in scripture you see is therefore, you have to go back to the verses before for the context. Why is he saying it? Therefore, or in another version, we'll say, for this reason. So if you go back to verse 24, he's actually talking about money. And a lot of people like to take this verse out of context, and that's fine, and just say, oh, you can't serve two masters. You're talking about money in and of itself. But he's not just talking about money in and of itself. He's putting it into the context. Now, why did Jesus use this as a context? He's saying, hey, guys, you cannot serve both money and God at the same time. In other words, about worry, you cannot have that divided heart. You cannot be torn in pieces over money and God. You're either going to choose one or you're going to choose the other. If money is your master, then that's going to be your master. Then that's going to be your hero. That's going to be the that's going to be the all-important thing in your life. And now that's going to be it in your life. It's money, money, money. I know people, they just live for money. They thrive for money. And then at the end of their lives, they regret that, gee, why did I waste my life on this? Rather than trust in making God your master, rather than choosing that, not being torn in pieces like that. So it's all connected. Verse 25 is connected to verse 24 in that he's asking, you know, you can't be devoted to both. It's either one or the other. And we know here in the next verses, Jesus is not saying, don't be concerned. There's a difference between being concerned and being worried. Worry is where you actually become a control freak. Worry is where you actually become, you put yourself in the place of God. You're saying, okay, God, I'm in charge of this. I'm going to worry because somehow I think I can control my destiny better than you can, God. I can by worrying, somehow, magically, mystically, all things are going to be better. I mean, no, that's not true. That's a trap. And Jesus is saying, no, you make me your master. Don't have a divided heart on that. So that's why it's connected. Now, why do we connect money to worry? Because we know, even in our polls, I happen to run a singles website. If you need a date, I'll set you up. It's a Christian singles website. So we talk about all different issues. But we did a poll, hundreds of people, and not just singles, but all people. The number one thing that singles, just because we have a lot of single people here, the number one thing that singles worry about, and I thought, oh, they're worrying about finding their soulmate, or they're worrying about this or that, or relationship. No, their first worry, believe it or not, is moolah. They're worrying about money. They're worrying about how are they going to live. I'll get to the love part, just make sure I have a job and all that. There's a couple, I wrote an article about what single Christian girls are attracted to in a guy. And the first thing, looks is down on the list. The first thing is, do you have a job and a driver's license? And are you legally employed and are you not in jail? You know, it's all about money. That's the first thing. So Jesus connected worry to money because he knew the human heart. He knew the human condition that this is really, it hits the heart. And by the way, what you do with your money is a great barometer of your spirituality. It will show you where you really are, God. Where you spend your money, time, treasure, but mostly your treasure, because that starts everything, will really determine really your heart barometer, your temperature of where you are with God. And that's why he connected verse 24 and 25. So Jesus says, therefore do not worry. You go back to verse 25. Therefore do not worry but about your life. Because look, isn't life more than this? But then he goes on to say this in our next verse. You go to the next slide, I mean. The next slide says, look at the birds of the air. He's looking at nature now. And since I retired, which is funny because I really didn't retire, I have a web design and marketing business, but I make my own hours. So I have more time now because I have to tell you, in my years of worrying and going around like a gerbil on a wheel, I didn't take time to enjoy. I didn't take time to smell the roses. I didn't take time to look at the daisies. I didn't take time to look at God's amazing creation of the birds. And now I take walks in the morning and I listen for all the different sounds of birds. It's pretty cool. And he's saying, guys, look, this is Jesus talking now. Look at the birds, guys. They don't store away anything. They're not hoarding anything. They're not worried about anything. But look, he says, your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus today, you have a heavenly Father. If you're not a believer in Jesus today, you have a God that loves you, that wants to be your, he wants to have this intimate relationship with you where in Hebrew, the word for intimate word for father is Abba, daddy. He wants to be your daddy. He wants to provide for you. He wants to love you. And he loves you now, but sin, you know, separates us from God. Our own choices separate us from God over here. We've gotten into that in the past. But he wants us to come through Jesus, through faith in Jesus, who died for us on that cross and shed his blood for us. He wants you to come home to Abba Dad and be part of that family. And what Jesus is saying here is, guys, don't live like the world. You have a Father, a Heavenly Father, who wants to provide for you. You have a Heavenly Dad who loves you so much and is still there for you. And some of us haven't had good fathers in our lives. Some of us have been abandoned by our earthly fathers, or we just don't have a good relationship with our fathers. And that taints us, because how are we going to have a great concept of what Jesus is saying about God the Father if our own fathers were bums, right? We can't. But the cool thing is, I love the scripture, even though the scripture in Psalm 27, even though your mother and father forsakes you, the Bible says, I will not forsake you. You have a Father who loves you and wants to be there for you. That's amazing to me, that He loves us so much. And look, He took you this far. He's not going to let you down. That's what Jesus is saying. He loves you so much. Why trust Him for your salvation? Why trust Him for forgiveness if you can't even trust Him for tomorrow? That's what Jesus is saying. You can do that. Just lean on me. Just lean back. You know, just when my little boy was two, Jesse, he would love to like just fall backwards into my arms. And sometimes he would do it when I wasn't ready. And you know, and I'm almost like to fall. But you have a Heavenly Father. You can lean back in the Heavenly Father's arms and just by faith, it's going to take faith. Just let it go. Let it go. Jesus wants to be. The Father wants to be the CEO of your life. You're either in control of your life through worry, or you're going to allow God to be the CEO of your life. Who's the boss? Who's the master? Like Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. Who's the CEO of your life? Is it you? Or would you rather have Jesus take the wheel? Like the song says, Jesus take the wheel. Would you rather have that? And that's what Jesus is saying. So if you go back to, good job. So, go back to verse 26. So he said, look at the birds of the air, because your heavenly, the Heavenly Father feeds them. And how amazing is that? And then he says one other thing about worry. Look at that. He says, it doesn't work. It doesn't. Which, like we said before, can anyone who by worry, same word, add 1 minute to your life? Jesus is just using that example. But in other versions, it says add cubit. In other words, add. Can anyone increase your height by worry? No, you can't. You can't change the color of your skin. You can't do this. Worrying is useless. That's what Jesus is trying to say. Even though we still insist on worrying, why? Because we want to stay in control. Jesus is actually saying it's useless to worry. It's useless to worry about your grades right now because God is in charge. It's useless to worry. Concern? Yes. Worry to the point where you're taking charge over your whole life and pushing God out? No. That's the difference here. So go on to the next slide. So that's two reasons not to worry. The first reason is you have a Heavenly Father that wants to take charge of your life and be the master of your life, and He wants to provide for you because He loves you. He promises to provide for us. And the second reason is it's worthless. I'm sure you guys have been in probably the same situations. I am a hypochondriac. I'm really messed up. Is that okay? Are you okay with that? Because I have issues. But this is why God is amazing. He specializes in taking people with issues and actually bringing them through the storm and on the other side better than ever. If someone would have told me 20 years ago, I'd be up here talking in front of people. And the hardest thing they say is public speaking. That's the scariest thing. If anyone would have said that, I'd say, are you nuts? You know, I can't even stand up in front of my best friend's wedding just to stand there. You expect me to do this? God does it. God's the God of the impossible, the God of the healing. Do you believe that today? That God is the God who can heal any issue in your life, any worry? He is. And so the idea here is, Jesus wants us to be that person who just leans back on His arms. So Jesus is sharing other things. He goes on, it's kind of the same thing, but a little different. And then He's asking another question. Why do you worry about clothes? Again, these are all things that are related to money. Because without money, you can't buy clothes. You could still, you go to, you know, you know, grab them somewhere, but you cannot have food without having the money, right? He said, hey, you know, I tell you, even in all Solomon's splendor, the wealthiest guy that ever lived, the simple flowers in the field are clothed better than him. And that's here today and gone tomorrow. And what Jesus is saying here is, you have a Heavenly Father who loves you, worry is useless, and not only does he love you, you're his masterpiece. You are his, forget the flowers that's here today and gone tomorrow. Forget even the stars, everything else. I care about you. You're so important to me. I'm not going to let you fall. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. He said, look, it's here today and gone tomorrow. This temporal stuff is burning fire. But you, my masterpiece in creation, the one who Jesus died for you, and it says in Romans that if God did not spare his own son, but gave himself up for us, will he not give us all things? All things. Did you all say all things?
All things.
Will he not much more clothe you, oh you of little faith? So he's trying to encourage the people to get their focus off themselves and onto the Heavenly Father, because you're his priority. And that makes me feel good. I don't know if any of you guys grew up with a low self-esteem or a low view of yourself. And that's why we had an identity series. It's so important to know who God says you are rather than what you say you are, rather than what your parents say you are, rather than what your ex-girlfriend or boyfriend says you are, rather than what your boss says you are. It's more important to look at what Jesus says you are, what the Heavenly Father says you are. He says you are so valuable. So amazingly valuable. Of anything in creation, my concern is for you alone. You know, when we were doing the church at the beginning of the church plant, my God was church. I'll be honest with you, I said that a few times ago. Something good can become an idol. Remember we talked about that last week? And my son and I went to LBI, and we have a great relationship now. My son's Tim, he's gonna be 30. He works in the business with us. He's an amazing bass player. I want him to come and play here. But we were talking heart to heart, and he said, Dad, you know, my first shaving experience was 13. Now he's like hair all over the place. But my first shaving experience was 13, and you told me you'd help me shave. And the phone rang, and you left me. Because someone from somewhere else was calling, and you left me to go that. And you know what's really sad? I didn't even realize I left him. I didn't even realize. I'll be right back, son. Torn in two, you know? I'll be right back. I took the phone call, and I totally forgot about my son. And he remembers that from, he's 29. He still remembers at 13, Dad, you left me with half of a, you know, shaved face and shaved cream all over. And I got so sad, and I said, son, I'm so sorry. I didn't make you the priority at that point. And the fact that he remembered that, man, it really touched him in a negative way. It really affected him in a way that made me really sad. And for the next hour, I'm saying, I'm so sorry. And we were a great relationship now, but just the point where your Father in heaven is not like that. Your Father's not going to drop you know, you for a phone call or somewhere else. Your Father prioritizes you and thinks you're tops. Yeah, you're a sinner. You are all sinners in this place. You probably did something bad last night, but Jesus forgives. There's no sin that God cannot forgive. That's the only sin he cannot forgive is what's called the sin against the Holy Spirit. But the fact that you're here today means that didn't happen. The whole point is that God prioritizes you. I want you to walk away with your understanding that you have a Heavenly Father who loves you so much. He provides for you. He wants to provide for you. You're his priority. He's not going to let you go, even though life is going to be difficult. Life is hard, right? There's things in life, there's There's nothing like this in life. We want that. We want a starting point, and we want an ending point, and we want it to be flat. But actually, in real life, there's mountains, which is a good thing, and then there's valleys, which is the sucky thing. And then that valley thing could go on quite a bit long, and you're wondering, God, where are you? God, I thought you were my Heavenly Father. Why is this happening? Hang in there. Hang in there and know that your God is not going to abandon you. That this has happened in my life over and over again. I want to keep track of my time. Over and over again, thinking, Lord, where are you? Lord, I thought, I'm a Christian. I follow you, Jesus. Why are you abandoning me? God will never appear that way. And a quick word picture from the Old Testament in Genesis. I recently went to Sight and Sound in Lancaster and saw the Ten Commandments. How many of you guys have been to Sight and Sound in Lancaster? It's pretty cool, right? How do they do that? They have the Nile River and the Red Sea, all this stuff, and they have camels, all that stuff. But anyway, the idea is the Jews were backed up against the sea, and the Egyptians were coming forward, and they had nowhere to go. They were trapped. You ever feel trapped in your life? You ever wonder, how am I going to get out of this? I'm holding on to you, Jesus, but I don't see any way out. In fact, I feel abandoned by you right now. Oh, God, what am I going to do? And the Egyptians are coming. They're trying to kill him. And then the people, they're starting to complain. Moses, you took us all the way out here only to die in the desert. And then God spoke to Moses, and God says, be still and know that I am God. Just be still. And what did God do? He parted the Red Sea, and the people went across, went across, and God wants you to have a Red Sea experience in your life. And there are many. I've had so many Red Sea experiences in my life, and he's going to have many for you. And and the whole point is, just when it seems like all is lost, God comes through. Hang on to your Jesus. Hang on to the Heavenly Father. Don't give in to that. Don't be torn in pieces, because that does no good. So let's go to the next verse. Okay. So Jesus, again, look at the emphasis on worry. Maranatha. So why are you torn to pieces? Literally what he's saying. Why are you torn to pieces saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Again, they're in a mountainside with no food. Jesus is about to feed them, right? With the two little fish, the five loaves. God's in that business, Do you believe God's in the miracle business today? Mm-hmm. He is in the miracle business today. But he says, what shall we eat? For the pagans run after that. So the pagan is a word for unbeliever. The pagan is the word for the college professor out there that says, this Bible is crazy. Don't even listen to that junk. That's old stuff. Don't bother with that. Or just an unbeliever who says, I don't go for this. I'm the master of my life. I'm in charge of my life. And they run. That word run means to strive. I love that word, strive. It means you're putting all your strength into that, and you're striving over it, because that's your meaning. That's your purpose. That's where you stand right here. This is where you stand. You're going to die on this mountain for that. Because they strive after material things and money, and they think that's where the purpose in life is, and they're going to be sorely mistaken. But he says, look, don't do that, because look, again, your Heavenly Father, I know you need this stuff already. I know you need a wife if you're not called to be single. You can have that gift of single, I know you need a husband. I know that you need a job after you graduate. I know you need a place to live and so forth, because I created you to work, to be that person. Just hang on to me. I'm your Heavenly Father. I know what you need. I'm going to provide it. Just believe in me. And then in the next verse, he says this. He says, and here's the key. So throw away the worry, cast the worry. He said, but first seek his kingdom. Whose kingdom? Heavenly Father's kingdom. Heavenly Father, seek his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All the things that you're worrying about, all the things that I would waste years worrying about, needlessly, all the things, whatever they are. I'm in the doctors and I'm thinking I'm surely dying. And I would spend months worrying, convinced that I'm going to die. I go through all these tests, and then after I get out of I'm giving you an example. After I get out of the doctor's office, I go, why did I worry about that? Why did I waste all this time? My stomach's in knots, you know, I'm making myself nuts, I'm giving myself hypo. Why did I do that? Why didn't I just lay back in your arms, Jesus? Why? You can apply that to your life, wherever you are now. That's really what he's saying. He's saying, seek first his kingdom. What does that mean? That means to seek Jesus, seek the Heavenly Father, seek his interests. Be part of his family. Wherever you are, you're going to be part of this church family. Or wherever it is, be part of his family where you can help others, where you can love on others, where we want to reach lost people for Jesus. That's where it is. Jesus has this, the Bible and living for the kingdom is very counterintuitive to the world. Because Jesus says in other places, if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. But if you strive and you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense by the world's standard. The world says, look out for number one, baby, because no one else is looking out for you. Except God and the Father. He's looking out for you. And so seek that first. And he says, all the things you're worried about, I'm going to pour back and more. I've seen this happen. You can't outgive God. It's impossible to outgive God. Financial, all other ways. And he says, I'm going to give you back. In other scriptures, he says, you give it away to me, and I'm going to give, and I'm going to stamp it down. It's going to be overflowing. It's going to be so much. If you just give me this, make me the CEO of your life. Make me run your business, which is your life. Give it to me. See what I do. You're already screwed. We all aren't doing too well holding on to ourselves, are we? It really doesn't work like that. You hand it over to him, and then you're going to be a superstar because God's power is going to flow through you by the power of his Holy Spirit. And that's it. Make him the CEO. That's it. So one last scripture. This is called God's Psychiatry Book. I love this. And it's found in Philippians 4. And basically it's re-emphasizing what we're saying. This is Paul. He's saying to the Philippians this. He's saying, do not worry. Do not be torn to pieces about anything. That's literally what he's saying. The same word. By the way, in some of the, like I said, in some of the passages where Peter says, cast your anxiety, cast your care, the same root word. It's the same root word, just translated a little different. Don't be torn to pieces over this. Don't be divided about this. Don't be so worried that you're going to want to vomit over it. He's saying this. It's a great exchange. A great exchange. He says, don't be worried about it. Instead, I want you to replace it with this. Replace it with prayer. Replace it with thankfulness for all he has done. And just thank him. And then he says that then you will experience God's peace that passes. I don't understand it, but it's true. You will experience God's peace that passes all understanding. And he's going to guard your heart and mind. What's your heart? That's the seat of your emotions. That's where Satan attacks us most. Because Satan cannot attack the facts. The facts is Jesus rose from the grave on the third day. He's coming back soon for his kids. The problem is our emotions get in the way. That's our emotion. When we get temptation, it's our emotions that he attacks. Because that's where we're vulnerable. Right? And we're vulnerable in so many ways with our emotions. So, but he says, I'll guard your hearts and your minds. That's what you're thinking as you live in Christ Jesus. So that's just a different translation that says the same thing. So now I know that this sometimes is a process. I know that it's hard not to worry, but we have the ability not to worry by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about, and we're going to close right now. I want you to think about the one thing in your life right now, or several things, that you're worrying about right now in your life. What is it? What is it? Where are you being cheated from your present right now by worrying about this right now? Something that's in the future. What is it? What is it that you're worrying about? You know? Now, concern, again, the difference between worry and concern. Concern, it's fine to be concerned about something, but there's a crossover where worrying is, it controls your life. It totally rips your joy. It totally, you're the slave to that worry. You see the difference? And so, but where is it in your life where you're so worried, or you're struggling with this worry? It's, oh no, what's going to happen here? What is it? And you want to pray together. You want to pray for you, whatever it is. Because it's a human condition, but Jesus commands us not to do that. He loves you so much. And you know, I thank God for Jesus. He took us this far. He's not going to drop us now. He took us this far. He's not going to drop us now. So let's bow our heads on this. Father God, I thank you so much for today. And I thank you. I pray for everyone in this room. In your scripture, Jesus, it says, wherever two or more are gathered, you're here in our midst. And you know our hearts. You know exactly what we're worried about right now. We don't have to say what we're worried about. You already know it. And I pray, Father, that you would just touch us supernaturally by the power of your Spirit, that you would just, whatever it might be, Lord, whether it's worrying about money or jobs or health or our children, whatever it might be, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would touch them where they need to be touched in their heart, that you would give them peace, Lord, and joy, and Lord, that we would replace worry with trust in you. Help us together, Father. Help us help each other through our fears. Thank you for bringing this church family together, Lord, which we want to be, to help each other. And Lord, we just give all these burdens to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. So what I'd like you guys to do, look, I want you to come back next week, bring a friend. I think we'll definitely have some, you know, everything here.